you can sense something isn't quite right. It's not normal. And you may even ask, hey, what's up? What's on your mind? What's going on? And you may, depending on the situation, get more than you had maybe initially imagined. You know, as we come to a service like this, it's possible for a lot to be on our mind. There's things that tug at us. You know, it's possible to be thinking about, wow, I've got something going tomorrow. I've got something going right after church tonight. And our mind is in a lot of different places. I'd like to encourage us here for the next few moments that our mind be focused upon Jesus Christ. And that we kind of push away other cares, other concerns, other thoughts, and that it be right upon Jesus Christ. And I'd like to encourage us to think on our Redeemer. To think upon our Redeemer. Just for a few moments. Allow your mind to think, who was it that paid for my redemption? Well, it was the eternal Son of God. The second person of the Godhead. As we quoted earlier tonight, the Creator of all things. He's the one who occasionally would make pre-incarnate appearances in the Old Testament. He was the one who was born of a virgin by the name Mary. He was the one who confounded the learned men in the temple at a very young age as a boy. He was the one who had a public ministry for about 3 years. And in that span of public ministry, he faithfully and consistently taught truth. He regularly healed and cared for people, provided for their needs because he had compassion on them. He is the pure, spotless Lamb of God. He's the Good Shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. He died on the cross and 3 days later rose again. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. He ascended back to heaven where he sits on the right hand of God the Father. He will one day, and it could be even yet tonight, return for his bride. He will one day come back in his second coming and set up his kingdom here on the earth. He is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. This is our Redeemer. And tonight I think it only right and proper that we think on him who has redeemed us. But not we only think on him, but we think about our redemption. Our redemption. What does it mean? You know, there's three primary terms for redemption in the New Testament. One of them means to buy or to purchase, kind of a commercial transaction. Another one means to purchase out of the marketplace, to take out of the marketplace and never to be on sale again. And then the third one, and which is reflective of Ephesians 1 and verse 7, is this. It's the idea, it's usually connected with a payment, ransom. And so it means to release on receipt of ransom. And Jesus Christ obviously was our payment. He was our ransom, as it were. And we find in Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed, you were not bought with a ransom, with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but what? With the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. As we mentioned this morning, As a believer here tonight, we are no longer bound by sin. We are no longer on the, as it were, the slave market of sin, but we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's the meaning of our redemption. But what was its price? It was the blood of Christ. If you will take your Bibles and turn over to the book of Isaiah in chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, a very, very familiar passage, but one I think merits our review again tonight. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 4, it says, "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep, we've gone astray, we've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so He openeth not His mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare His generation? For He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was He stricken. And He made His grave with the wicked, and with the rich in His death, because He had done no violence, neither was any deceit in His mouth." There's some additional verses I'll put up on the screen. 1 Peter 2 and 24. "Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. He bore our sins in His own body on the cross." 2 Corinthians 5:21. "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Jesus Christ obviously was not a sinner, but God the Father treated Him as a sinner when He died on the cross, and He paid for my sin and for yours. Hebrews chapter 9 says, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Eternal redemption. "For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" And just a few verses down, in verse 22, it says this, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission." It was the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ that purchased my redemption and your redemption if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight. And we need to reflect on our Redeemer. We need to reflect and think upon our redemption. And thirdly tonight, we need to reflect and think about the results of our redemption. And what does Ephesians 1 and verse 7 say? Even the forgiveness of sins. That our sins are forgiven. And the word forgiveness is basically a legal term. It meant to repay or to cancel a debt or to grant a pardon. It literally is this idea. The high priest on the Day of Atonement would put his hands on a goat. And by that representation, he would symbolically place the sins of the nation on that goat. And that goat was taken to a distant, far place, never to return again. And that's exactly what Jesus has done with our sins by His payment. God has removed our sins, never to bring them back again. What does Psalm 103 and verse 12 say? "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us." Amen? As far as the east is from the west, and in Micah 7 and verse 19, it says this, He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the what? The depths of the sea. They're removed. They are taken away completely and utterly. And I love Colossians 2:13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, and note this last phrase, having forgiven you all trespasses. All trespasses. All of our sins, past, present, future, forgiven by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. I hope that is the reflection of your heart tonight. You just say, praise God. You know, it's all of my sin, all of my transgression, all of my iniquities paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And just before we celebrate and commemorate the Lord's table here tonight, I have a series of thoughts that just kind of summarize who we are and what we have in Jesus Christ. You're certainly welcome to try and jot these down, but in doing so, don't let that hinder the thought process as we go through each one of these quickly here in the next couple of moments. Number one is this. This is true for each one of us. I have repeatedly and immeasurably sinned against a holy God for which I deserve eternal condemnation in hell. And that is true for each and every one of us here tonight. That would represent what we deserve. The Bible says that, as I alluded to this morning, out of the book of John, that he that does not believe in Jesus Christ is condemned already. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans 6 and 23, for the wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God. That's what I deserve. But secondly, because God loves me, He gave His Son Jesus Christ as a substitutionary sacrifice to pay for my sin. We've already read 1 Peter 2:24, who bore our sins in His own body on the tree. I have been redeemed through the blood of Christ. I've been purchased. There was a ransom that was paid on my behalf, and it was the blood of Jesus Christ. I've been justified by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. As we've learned from the book of Galatians, to be justified is to be made righteous. In the sight of God, as a believer, because of what Jesus Christ has done, He looks at me as being righteous. I have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I've been clothed in His righteousness. As we sang this morning, His robes for mine. I had nothing but filthy, dirty, sin-stained robes, which I gave, in essence, in exchange for His pure, spotless, righteous robe. And that's how God views me and how He views you as a believer here tonight. I am reconciled to God. I was once an enemy of God, but He has brought me into a state of harmony and fellowship with Himself. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." If you're a believer here tonight, you've been reconciled to God, and He has given to us as believers the ministry of telling others how they too can be reconciled to a holy, righteous God. I am no longer subject to the wrath of God for my sin. Aren't you glad for that tonight? No longer subject to the wrath of God for my sin. Because the Bible clearly tells us, he that believeth on him is not condemned. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Amen. I'm adopted into God's family. I've mentioned to you on a few occasions, and most of you know this well, that I was adopted at 5 weeks of age. So grateful for that. But I'm eternally grateful that I'm adopted into God's family as well. And if you are a believer here tonight, you have been adopted into the family of God. Romans 8:15 says, "For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Truly, and this is not in any way disrespectful, God is in a real sense our dad. Abba, Father, Papa, Daddy. And we can come to Him and we can cry out to Him and say, "Papa, I need you. Daddy, I need you." And that's no way disrespectful, because that's our relation to Him as a child of God. He is our Father. We've been adopted into His family. And my position in Jesus Christ is eternally secure. John chapter 10 says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, never perish, never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Tonight, as we come to the Lord's table, may we think on our Redeemer. May we think on our redemption. May we think on the results of our redemption, that my sins, past, present, and future, are all forgiven. And may we contemplate and just really have a resounding praise and glory and honor to our God for all that He has done for us in and through Jesus Christ. We're redeemed by the blood of Christ. As we looked at this morning, Christ lives in us. Hope you've chewed on that a little bit this afternoon. What a profound thought, that Jesus Christ lives in you as a believer. And we are the recipients of the riches of His grace.